Our scripture reading this morning is from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ has apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean? Except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions. He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Kevin. So we are more than halfway through our dream acrostic, which gives us five directives to becoming a healthy, disciple-making church, but especially a church that dares to dream like Jesus. So the D stands for design. The R stands for reach. E stands for engage. So you can hopefully see that there is a progression here. You design your worship, your hospitality, your programs with the hope of reaching your target, building a relationship with them, and then hopefully engaging them into the life and ministry of the church. So the next thing is to activate every member into meaningful ministry. So we're talking about serving, volunteering, ministry connection. In the passage Kevin just read us, Paul begins by saying that we are called to a worthy life. He says, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. So Paul reminds us that we all have a calling. And this calling is not simply about being saved for heaven one day. It is about being active for service today. A worthy life is not passive. It is active, and it is marked by humility, patience, and love. Every time God brings a new person into this church, we should recognize that he is bringing us someone who has been masterfully created for ministry. Every person here has a purpose, a passion, and a place. Now, they may not know exactly what those are yet, but the call of the church is to help them discover those things. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do good things he planned for us long ago. Notice Paul doesn't say he has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we could be bench warmers. Right? But to do good things he planned for us long ago. So we don't just attend church, we are the church. And our calling is not to consume, but to contribute. Rick Warren said, we all have a purpose that is actually fivefold, and that is to worship, to fellowship, to evangelize, to disciple, and to serve. And to live unengaged in those five purposes is to live beneath your calling. Paul also says that we are united for a purpose. He emphasizes unity, having one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. And please do not confuse unity with uniformity. It's every part working together in harmony. Imagine church as a symphony, where each instrument has a part. And the beauty does not come when one instrument plays louder than another, but when each one plays faithfully together. You don't have to do everything, but you are called to do your thing, the part that God has designed for you. He says we are equipped to serve. He says to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service. Notice this, leaders are not given to the church to do all the ministry, right? They are given to equip the people for ministry. Many churches tend to get it wrong one of two ways. Either one, the pastor fails to activate their members into ministry. And nothing stagnates growth more than that. Carl George and Warren Bird once said, the number one difference between growth and plateau in churches was the empowerment of the laity. So in a church, we have the clergy and we have the laity. You are the laity of the church. And churches that view their laity as consumers rather than contributors are always going to hit a plateau. Another way churches get it wrong is when the church staff is viewed as the ones who do the ministry and run the programs, almost as if they're being paid to be spiritual for everyone else. But rather, the church staff is to develop people to do ministry together. So ministry doesn't just belong to a select number of people. It belongs to the entire body. Every believer has a spiritual gift and a sphere of influence where God intends them to serve. Last week we talked about how God says we are to grow up. Remember me saying that? So Paul says we attain maturity through ministry. As each person steps into their calling, the body, the whole body, grows. Paul says, from him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. There's the key phrase, as each part does its work. So if the hand refuses to work, the body suffers. If the eye chooses not to see, the body stumbles. If you don't use your gift, the church is incomplete. So the maturity of the church depends on your activation. And the challenge is, how do we ensure that every part, that every person is activated and not stagnated so that the body is built up? So there are five things I want to lift up. One, you need to discover your gift. Now, when we say discover your gift, many people like to go right to that spiritual gifts inventory. And while that can be a tool for discernment, that's not the only place you discover your gift. God has uniquely wired you, not just with skills and talents, but also with passions and experiences that are meant to bless others. You know, when you feel that burn or that pull toward a cause, a deep compassion toward those in particular circumstances. It may be that your heart beats fast for those who struggle with homelessness or addiction or those in domestic violence or disputes. Maybe your heart beats for brothers and sisters with special needs. Maybe it's to improve literacy in our community. I don't know many foster parents who become foster parents because of a spiritual gifts assessment, right? They do it because something in their hearts broke for the children in the system, and it spurred them to action. So to discover your gift, you ask questions like, what does make my heart beat fast? What makes my heart burn? What makes my heart break? What do I enjoy doing that strengthens me and the church? And what do others affirm in me? Where do I feel God's pleasure when I serve? And as you ask those questions, try things. You know, don't wait until you're certain, but serve somewhere. Because sometimes we discover our gifts when we're experimenting in different areas of ministry. And if you're still feeling lost after that, you can always come to me or a trusted mentor to help you discern your gifts. God often uses the community to confirm your calling. You all are a living example of that in me. So you discover your gift, and then you develop your gift. Once you've identified an area of strength, don't let fear or rejection keep you in the stands. Start small. Remember what I said last week. You have to crawl before you stand, stand before you walk, walk before you run. So begin by serving in small, faithful ways. Look for needs. Sometimes ministry isn't about waiting for your perfect fit. I've seen that spiritual gifts assessment be used as an excuse not to do something. Can you help us with this? Oh, that's not my spiritual gift. Well, cleaning toilets isn't really among the spiritual gifts assessment, but it needs to be done, right? So if there's a gap, step in and serve, because faithfulness in small opens doors to greater impact. And serve with joy. Ministry is not a drudgery, it is a delight. Remember, Jesus washed feet. So no act of service is beneath a child of God. Gifts grow when they are used, and if you wait until you feel ready, you will wait forever. So deploy your gift and then develop your gift. Activation is not the finish line, but it's the starting point for growth. So learn, read, train, practice in your area of service. You know, teachers can learn from other teachers. Musicians can learn from other worship leaders, and a servant can learn from other servants. Be teachable. Accept feedback with humility. Growth comes when we allow others to sharpen us, as Proverbs tells us, rather than being on the defense. And stay fueled spiritually. Ministry without intimacy with God leads to burnout. So you have to stay connected to the true source of strength, Jesus Christ. Serving grows your faith, it stretches your character, it deepens your dependence on Christ. And as you do those things, as you discover, deploy, and develop your gift, you need to depend on the body. Because Ephesians 4 tells us that no one serves alone. We are joined together, each part supporting each other. So encourage others. Remember, just as your gift matters, so does everyone else's. So celebrate the diverse ways that people serve. Work as a team. Ministry is not a competition, it is cooperation. When one wins, we all win. And guard unity. Serving will sometimes stretch you, even test you. People will challenge your methods. They will not think the way you do. They will not do things the way you do. So choose humility and love to protect the unity of the body. The goal here is never individual success or competency. The goal is always collective maturity. And along with depending on the body, be always willing to dream bigger, because serving isn't just filling a volunteer slot. It is joining God in mission. So think kingdom size. Your gift may be small, but in God's economy, in God's hands, it can change eternity. See people. Ministry is not programs, it is people. I said last week, while some people think they don't need to go to church to grow spiritually, the purpose of your growth is people. So every smile, every handshake, every prayer, every act of service can point somebody to Jesus. And always be ready for more. God often uses faithful service in the small things to prepare us for the much larger things. Now, if you did not hear me say anything else this morning, please hear this. Your service today can be the seed for someone else's salvation tomorrow. The church doesn't need more spectators. The world doesn't need more passive Christians. We were made to be activated for ministry. And when each part does its work, the body grows. The church flourishes. When you step into your calling, the kingdom advances. So today and beyond, let's not just watch ministry happen. Let's be ministry in action. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for calling us not to sit on the sidelines, but to step into the life you designed for us. We praise you that through Christ, each of us has been given gifts, passions, and a purpose. Lord, open our eyes to discover the gifts you've placed in us. Give us courage to deploy those gifts with joy and faithfulness. And teach us, Lord, to develop what you've entrusted to us so that we may grow strong in spirit and useful in your kingdom. Help us to depend on one another as members of one body, united in love and humility. Guard our hearts from comparison and competition, and instead make us encouragers of each other's ministry. And Father, stir our hearts to dream bigger, to see beyond our comfort zones, and to believe that even the smallest act of service can bear eternal fruit in your hands. We pray that our church would grow not by the work of a few, but by the activation of every part, every person, every gift, until we all reach maturity in Christ and the world sees your love through us. In the mighty name of Jesus, who came not to be served, but to serve, we pray. Amen.